Allstate Skyline Studios, and we hope that you are happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. We mean that every night, but in particular, so many people need to be cautious of what they are doing tonight and where you go. So please, I know I saw a post by Kathy O'Malley, and she was making a joke about how thank you to all the broadcasters for reminding me to dress warmly. And, you know, we just want to take precautions. We want to keep you up to date on a lot of information throughout the evening. We're going to keep it fun. We're also going to talk about the Super Bowl. We're going to talk to a couple filmmakers here in Chicago who've made a film called Rendezvous in Chicago that we want to learn more about, and about filmmaking in the city. And we'll check in with our car guy, Warren Price. I know a lot of people have questions in that this right now. It's about if you have any questions about how to take care of your car over the next few days. Hopefully you've prepped, filled up your gas tank, and gotten your windshield wiper fluid. Make sure you have next time you go to your car, you know, take an extra blanket with you. I know we've been saying this throughout the day, but you never know what situation you might end up in. Dress properly. I was able to convince my son to wear a vest today. I know, because I've been asking him. Thank you very much. You know how I did it, David?
What was the bribe?
No, I use science. My son is very logic based, and there's several great articles about why wearing a vest helps keep your core warm, which keeps the blood flow to your extremities, and therefore keeps your temperature at a healthy rate. So that's how I did it. Science. That's how.
All righty then.
Science wins again.
Yeah,
the science gal.
Here, by keeping your core insulated, right? So it's an extra layer right down the middle. You keep your blood flow is constant to your extremities, keeping them warmer. That's why often a long sleeve with a good vest over enough to keep you warm in some, you know, when you're active, maybe going for a run and things like that. So I was excited to be able to convince him to wear a vest, because he did have to go to school today. CPS, for those of you who are listening to the station, you already know, but maybe you're just jumping in the car or tuning in. CPS,
you'll be having guests all day tomorrow and Thursday.
That's right. CPS has canceled. And there might be some high school students who are pleased with these announcements, because they are in the middle of exams week. Yes, they are in the middle of exams week. So gives them a few extra days at home. I feel a little bit guilty. I will be leaving after tomorrow night's show. I'm heading to Indianapolis to perform at the Crackers Comedy Club, which means my husband is going to have cabin fever with the boys.
I'm not even going to ask you about the name of the club.
Crackers?
I'm sorry.
Believe me, every comic that goes on stage, you know,
has the same reaction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, I think it was supposed to be like a crack me up kind of a thing. But there it is.
Okay.
And there it is. So so my apologies. My husband will listen to this podcast tomorrow, so I hope he'll take this apology. I didn't mean to abandon him, because not only... So Griffin has the cold days Wednesday and Thursday, and he had Friday off anyway for school institution day. So
What's your husband's first name?
Stephen.
Stephen. She didn't mean to abandon you.
I didn't mean to. This is bad timing.
It was strictly... business.
It wasn't personal. Don't take it personally. I actually don't like to go on the road. I don't do comedy clubs in the wintertime, because I don't like to get trapped in weather like this. I don't like to leave my husband dangling in a situation like this. But Paul Farvar begged me to get him into this comedy club in Indianapolis, and this was the weekend that worked out. And so, Steve, you can blame comedian Paul Farvar. In this hour, we're going to check in with our good friend John Tatey. We're going to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl, and you know, since you're trapped in the house, perhaps some of you for the next few days, and please, if you can work from home, I know this is, you've heard this for the last 2 days, if you can work from home, if it's possible to not leave the house, it is highly recommended that you do so. So John Tatey, he'll talk about the Super Bowl a little bit. He is a Patriots fan, and Tom, you can say it. Do you not want to say anything on the air?
No, I've already gotten in arguments with Paul Farvar about this.
Oh no, it's not necessary to be in arguments about a team.
I love him, but
yes,
come
it
on,
is.
Man.
It's not necessary.
You're next, Andy.
And then
me? What did I do? And then, I'm agreeing with you.
There you go. And then coming up at 10:30, we've got Dr. Kathy Tynes. We're going to talk a little bit about taking care of yourself in this weather. We've got Steve Dale, because last night a listener called in and was convinced that it is okay to leave your dogs out in this cold, and we want to talk to him about that. Exactly. At 11 o'clock, we'll talk to some filmmakers who've made the move. Michael Smith. And Tom, can you remind me the name of the producer that he works with? I apologize.
Lane Marie Williams.
Thank you. Lane Marie Williams will join us at 11 o'clock for some fun conversation about filmmaking in Chicago. And then Warren Price, our car guy, at midnight. And we want to hear from you. What are you doing to prepare for this weather? Is it not a big deal to you? Let us know. 312-981-7200. Or is this when you gear up, you go into emergency mode to take care of yourself and those in your world? More after this. But by the way, the number is 312-981-7200. You can call or text us to that number, 312-981-7200. And if you miss any of the show because you've got to get out of the car or you're trying to get some sleep, don't forget everything will be podcast at WGNradio.com. And you can subscribe to my podcast on iTunes. Follow me on Facebook, Patty V Show, and Twitter, Patty Vasquez, CHI. We'll be right back. I suspected that some of our guests might call in and go, hey, do you mind if I do this on the phone? And I would encourage, as I just mentioned a moment ago, if you can work from home, please do so. And I encourage the same of my guests, which is why, John Tatey, when you texted me earlier, I was like, yes. And I'm glad that you chose the wiser decision. Hey, John.
Oh, thank you, Patty, because I felt so guilty about
it. No, no. Why? I have to be. Although, I started thinking about it. I'm like, can I get the equipment so I can do it from my kitchen? But no,
I wondered, too.
No, this all works out well. And I know that you... Now, I was just talking to Tom Hush, our producer tonight, who was saying that he... there are people who get very passionate about their sports teams, and you messaged me that you wouldn't mind being our Patriots whipping boy. Is there a lot of hostility, more than usual this year, when it comes to Patriots? Patriots fans?
I feel like it is more than... I feel like it's another high tide of Patriots animus. I feel like there was even some splashover from the Saints game, you know, when they had that penalty that the officials missed, and people were so upset over that. Like, a bit of that... They just got angry at the Patriots at the same time. They were like, oh, people are so sick of this team. And the Chiefs are the future, and Mahomes, electric, exciting. How could you not want him to be in the Super Bowl? So, sorry, America. You can be angry at me. I am a born and bred New England Patriots fan, and I am enjoying every minute of this.
Unabashedly. I love it. And did you see that that kid that won his science project? He had won a ribbon for proving that Tom Brady's a cheater.
Well, you did ensure that I saw that, Patty, by texting it to me.
Oh, wait a minute.
A little trolling by you.
I forgot. I forgot that I messaged
yes,
you.
Yes, I did. It made me weep for the corrupted youth of America. I mean, our education system is failing these kids, Patty.
I'm saying, I could not believe that was... that not only was he encouraged to do that, whether it was by his teachers or his parents, and then he was rewarded for it. I mean, it's one thing to go, okay, let's see the science of this. It was all on the deflated balls and all the averages and all that kind of stuff. It cracked me up.
He really, I mean, you should look it up, folks, if you can, because the, the classic trifold poster board, Patty, right? And
yes.
He really did his up with, I mean, this was like a scandalous, felt like a tabloid presentation. I think the kid has a future in media.
Yeah.
If not science.
He showed how deflated footballs provided Brady with a competitive edge. And he included results from a mock football test that he did with his mom and his sister. So the whole family was involved in this. I love it. Anyway.
Wow.
So so what are your thoughts? How are you feeling going into Super Bowl Sunday? What are your predictions? What are you most excited about?
Well, I have to say, as a smug and sufferable Patriots fans, my dad and I were talking about how, 6-3 in Super Bowls sounds a lot better than 5-4. So New England Patriots fans are, of course, full of themselves, don't get me wrong, but also a little nervous because this game has the potential to take a little shine off of their precious dynasty. On the other hand, if the Patriots win, then I mean, New England, you might just have to saw it off the map because the rest of the country just won't be able to stand up.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, I just got a text from the 773. I hate Tom Brady. He's a cheater, and he gets all the calls.
I mean,
John has no comment for that.
It's a common refrain. Yeah. It's just when the Patriots are in the Super Bowl 3 years in a row, of course people are going to have this frustration that they vent in. What's the word? Irrational ways.
Oh, Patty. Dear.
And let me just say, I understand. I understand.
Okay, fair enough. By the way, tomorrow night we're going to talk to Ken Jakubowski, who is going to guide people on the over-under on how long Gladys Knight will take to sing the national anthem.
Oh, a classic bet. That this is one of the most fun little media nuggets that comes out of each Super Bowl is the coverage of these proposition bets, they're called. Because I guess Vegas people just don't have enough to bet on. And this is one of my favorites, the length of the anthem. So what do you have the over-under?
He thinks that she'll be doing it. I think it'll be just under 2 minutes is what he's going to estimate.
Minutes.
Yeah. Because, you know, the longest has been over 5 minutes, which was incredible.
What? Really?
Yeah, I believe that we looked this up last time he was on the show, longest national anthem for the Super Bowl, and it was kind of crazy. I mean, because, you know, all the long, drawn-out notes and, you know, the pauses in between. Alicia Keys, I believe, was the longest in Super Bowl history, and it was 156 seconds? How long would that be?
Okay, so that's 2.5 minutes.
Wait, maybe I was wrong. I feel like somebody else sang it longer. Oh, now I'm getting all my numbers confused.
5 minutes. That would be
too long. You're right.
5 minutes.
You're right. I think it had to be somewhere on there. I don't like to look at the I thought I had it locked in my head as something crazy long, but he thinks she's going to go just under 2 minutes. So that's So tune in tomorrow to find out what the over-under is.
So are you taking the over or the under?
I don't bet. Betting makes me very uncomfortable. Someone once gave me $100 bills to play the $20 slots in Vegas. I put a $20 bill in it. I lost it, and I kept the rest of the money because I couldn't take it. I gave them back $40.
I think you and I should wager on the Super Bowl now, though. We should have a friendly bet so you can it'll just be fun.
Well, okay.
So what are the stakes?
I have to
watch
Ozark.
3 episodes of Ozark. that's right.
All right, 3 episodes of Ozark. What's my assignment then? Because I watched your American Vandal all the way to the end.
Yeah, you did. If I win, you have to watch 1 episode of Star Trek, and we'll talk about it on the air. We'll talk about it on the air.
Which Star Trek? There's so many.
We'll see. Okay. Voyager, probably. I'm really gonna.
All right, I like it. Well, speaking of which, what do you recommend folks binge watch if they are hibernating for the next 2 days? What are you watching, John?
We were just getting into. I would recommend it, even though I haven't finished it. We're just getting into the Netflix Fire documentary. you know, there's these dueling fire festival documentaries. Yep. Do people know this? So there's this fighting between the producers of each documentary, but the Fire Festival was this basically scam music festival, to make a long story short. And Hulu came out with their documentary about it 4 days before the Netflix one came out, and the sort of new media Hollywood acrimony this has stirred up is itself a fun story, but the story of this festival is crazy, and again, I haven't even finished this. It's called Fyre, F-Y-R-E, on Netflix. Check it out. Watch it with me.
Have you seen the part where I saw the one on Netflix, and I started watching the one on Hulu, just only for the comparison, not out of interest, because I care as much watching, you know, what unfolded as I did when this actually happened. I was like, I don't feel sorry for any of these people. Billy is despicable. But how about that guy? Have you seen when they get to the island and they realize that they have to sort of do this mad grab of the tents, and one of the guys is talking about how his other friends were like slashing other tent walls so that people wouldn't want those tents, they wouldn't have any neighbors, and they were taking a leak on mattress. I shouldn't tell you all this stuff, but anyway, you haven't seen that part yet. I was like, okay, these people are disgusting. Yeah, no. No. These people were duped.
Wow.
They were duped because they wanted to be cool and they wanted to be all on this island from, you know, was it Pablo Escobar's island? And the idea that because there were models there and, you know, we want to be cool like them and we can hang out with, R&B artists and rappers and, it was so bizarre. But at the same time, I mean, I watched the whole thing. So there you go.
Yep. Yeah. So I will be getting back to that after this radio spot. And so our bet is if the Patriots win, I pick Star Trek. And if the Rams win, are you going to take the Rams side? Is that our bet? Or are we doing the international anthem?
Because I have no emotional investment in this game whatsoever, sure, I'll take the Rams.
Take the Rams. Great.
I take the Rams.
Patty?
Yes. You write that down? Got it with our bookie?
No. Yeah, that's right.
So do we have to register that with somebody? I hope we don't get in any trouble. So, John, hopefully it'll be warm enough for you to join us. I think next week we only have an hour show, so let's meet back here in 2 weeks.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Sorry I couldn't be there with you, Patty. Stay warm.
No, you stay warm, and I will talk to you in the next few days. Well, we'll talk, touch base on Super Bowl Sunday.
Of course.
Hopefully it'll be in a mocking way. Ha, 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 you have to watch Ozark. Thanks, John.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
Fun.
Thanks. It's John.
Thanks, Patty.
Thank you. It's John Tatey. You can follow him on Twitter at John Tatey, T-E-T-I. And hold on a second. Hey, John, are you still there? What's your what's the podcast with your mom?
I am.
What's the podcast with your mom?
Pop Mom.
So check that one out, too. His mom, Bonnie, is awesome. I mean, you're cool, too, but your mom's really cool. She edges you out by a little bit. Thanks, John. More after this on 720 WGN. Siberia, Antarctica, I think Antarctica, Greenland, these are just, Alaska, these are just some of the places that are currently warmer than Chicago, and it continues to be something that we'll talk about throughout the evening, and I wanted to check in with Dr. Kathy Tynes. She is the president of the Illinois Medical Society and associate professor at Northwestern Hospital, and I heard Dr. Most the other day talking about hypothermia and about frostbite, and Dr. Tynes, this is something that we kind of get overconfident sometimes. We're like, oh, it doesn't feel that bad, and that's kind of part of the problem, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. So in conditions like this, frostbite can occur in less than 5 minutes of exposure.
Yeah, and I had to show my son that because, again, I was explaining to everybody that as long as I use science and show him the research that backs it up, he'll believe me. And I said 5 minutes. He goes, I think it's 10. Either way.
But still take your gloves with you to school.
Yes, take your gloves, cover your ears. That's the thing, too, is it now it's also because of this extreme weather, your nose and your eyes need some protection, too, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. So any exposed skin is susceptible, but especially the nose, cheeks, the chin, the ears, mm-hmm. fingers and toes. You should try to cover as much as of your body as possible. And people who keep their eyes open in weather like this can actually get frostbite of their cornea.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so with the wind in particular, because that's part of what's contributing to these cold temperatures. So eyewear, if you can wear sunglasses, if you wear contacts, this is a good time to switch it out and wear your regular glasses, don't you think?
Right, or, you know, for people who are outdoors all day long or skiing or doing some other outdoor activity, that's when you should be wearing goggles.
So you can have a seal around the edges. So when, you know, I remember when I was a kid and we'd go sledding and we'd be out in the snow and we'd come in and our hands would be numb. And the first thing we would do is obviously rub our hands together, run them under warm water. And I just learned this week that that's not what you want to do if you start to have the initial signs of frostbite. What should you do and why is that bad?
Sure. Well, so the early signs are skin numbness, pale discoloration. The skin might even get a waxy texture, and you might have clumsiness in using your extremity. So you should seek medical attention right away if you're not able to regain feeling in your hands or if the discoloration doesn't improve. But certainly the first thing you want to do is move to a warmer area, and you don't want to rewarm the body part until there's no longer any danger of refreezing. So, you know, warming and refreezing can actually make it worse. And you don't want to use hot water. You can use warm to lukewarm water instead, Or you can even, you can use body heat to warm up the area. So, you know, the old sticking your hands in your armpits or in your groin area. Those are the two hottest parts of your body. That's okay to do. You don't want to use a stove and you don't want to use hot water.
Okay, so use your own body to sort of warm yourself up slowly, because you don't want to try to rush it. That's what people are trying to do when they're rubbing their hands together and running it under warm water.
Exactly. And the other thing you don't want to do is walk on feet that you think might be frostbitten, because that can cause more damage as well.
So that's tissue damage, because one of our listeners had texted in that she experienced frostbite years ago and still has lasting pain from that.
Yes, that can be one of the long-term effects. Another one is when exposed to the cold again, it almost feels and looks like the frostbite is reoccurring, because people can get vasospasm. And that can happen and be permanent for the rest of their lives. So again, you know, long-term effects are common. It's very, very treatable if you can get to medical attention quickly. If you have anything that looks like blisters after rewarming or blood blisters, that can be a very bad sign. So any tissue discoloration that doesn't reverse to normal would be a sign that you should seek medical attention. And two other factors that can make frostbite occur are ingesting caffeine or nicotine, because those can cause constriction of your blood vessels and further reduce blood flow. Other risk factors include having had some alcohol or other drugs in your system, being malnourished, having diabetes, or sweating. So if you go outside and you're wearing wet clothing, that conducts heat away from your body even quicker.
That's something that caught my attention, is the type of material that you should wear. You and I were talking off the air about, I was explaining that I feel like my sinuses are all over the place, and I felt as though it's because I'm going from the cold to the dry, you know, warm areas. But you said there's also the sweat factor involved in the kind of material that you wear. Tell us a little bit about that.
So, yeah, so you want to wear material that can wick the sweat away from your body. So, you know, if you're going to be outside and you're going to be walking or doing anything rigorous, you're going to be bundled up, you're actually going to sweat, and that's okay. But you don't want that sweat to stay in your skin, because that increases your risk for frostbite or hypothermia further. So materials that are typically synthetic can help wick moisture away from your skin, and that keeps it healthier.
So you want to have a rotation of polyester long sleeve shirts in your wardrobe.
Yeah. And socks. Yeah.
And here's a question from a listener from the 217. I use a thin layer of petroleum jelly on my face in extreme cold. Is that okay?
I don't really think we have any data that says that that's effective. It's probably not harmful, but I think you're probably better off putting some type of clothing over that exposed skin rather than the Vaseline.
I could see, like, especially around your nostrils to keep that sort of, you know, because it gets so dry so quickly when you're coming in and out. I could understand that part.
Sure, yeah. Sure, that could be very soothing. But again, to protect against frostbite, really you want to keep the area warm. And that's not going to be accomplished with the jelly.
Right, so that's not for warmth. That would be more for keeping things moist and avoiding dryness. Tell us a little bit about hypothermia, because there are people who will have to be outside because of their jobs or getting to, you know, one place to the other. Tell us a little bit about how that occurs and what you should be aware of.
Sure. So the interesting thing about hypothermia is it can occur in all climates and in all seasons, and it really just depends on the length of your exposure and if you have any impairment in your ability to generate heat. Again, in this weather, you know, obviously it's the temperature. And it can be a lot more subtle but more deadly than frostbite. So the symptoms can be fatigue, shivering, or altered consciousness, pretty much in that order. So if you're outside and you feel tired and you actually stop shivering, that can be a really bad sign. You may be in danger of hypothermia, and you should go inside at that point.
Because your body's not responding the way it had been? It's affecting your central nervous system?
Well, because you're no longer able to generate heat.
Oh, boy.
So after a certain amount of time, your body's just shutting down, and it's no longer able to generate any more heat. You're running out of fuel. You're running out of reserves.
Wow. So what kind of precautions do you take? Tell us what when Dr. Kathy Tynes is getting ready in the morning and leaving the house. What are your layers?
Oh, let me tell you. So this is what you want to do. You want to look the dorkier, the better. Okay?
Cheers. Yep.
Seriously. So you want to wear actual, like, snow boots. You want heavy boots that are well-insulated and are waterproof. You want to make sure that every part of your body is covered, and you want to dress in layers. Layers help to trap heat better than one thick layer, and, again, helps to wick away some of that moisture that we talked about. The other thing you want to do is really avoid using alcohol if you're going to be outside in the cold. Alcohol dilates your blood vessels, and it causes an increase in your heat loss, and it also impairs your judgment and your senses. So you may feel like you are warm, but when you're actually becoming hypothermic. And God forbid you pass out in the cold, because that can lead to death. Mm-hmm. And we do see several people die this way each year.
Oh, that's tragic. Well, my producer was wondering, you know, if you happen to encounter someone who seems to be experiencing hypothermia, what should you do?
You got to bring them into the warmth. That's the only thing that you can do. And, you know, preferably bring them to medical attention, because, again, you want to rewarm them slowly under controlled conditions. And you want to make sure that there's no other substances or anything else going on that might be impairing their consciousness, because sometimes hypothermia is a side effect from other causes of losing consciousness, other illnesses.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Tynes, for, and I know that this sounds severe to folks, but this is severe weather, and we want to be as diligent as possible, and we so appreciate your input, and look forward to seeing you in studio very soon.
Sounds good. You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's Dr. Kathy Tynes, president of the Illinois Medical Society and associate professor at Northwestern. And we always love hearing from you. We're going to come right back in just a moment with Steve Dale to also talk about your pets in just a second on 720 WGN. The great thing about being a host here at WGN Radio is, well, one, I get to be a host at WGN Radio, but I also get to talk to experts, and we just talked to Dr. Kathy Tynes from Northwestern, and we also have on the line with us, of course, our very own Steve Dale, the world-renowned pet expert. Last night, Steve, I tried messaging you because we had a listener who was arguing with producer Ro Coleman about how it was okay to let your dog stay outside in weather like this.
For a minute, you know.
Right.
I mean, if they really feel it like we feel it. So the advantage that some dogs have is they're born with a winter coat. But even then, when we go out with the winter coat, we're not born with it, but the winter coat we put on, and we're still freezing. I mean, there is no dog breed that I've ever known. I mean, we're talking Great Pyrenees. We're talking Siberian and Alaskan Huskies. We're talking Malamutes. I mean, there isn't a breed that was bred to be in this weather. Yes, you know, to do okay when it's 10 or 20 degrees, and those dogs love it when it's 25 or 30 degrees.
Yes.
But not 35 below zero.
So let them go out and do their business and bring them back inside.
You bet.
I'm guessing that some folks who house their dogs outside are trying to figure this out, and there are situations like that, you know, especially in rural areas, aren't there?
Oh, sure. And, you know, there are heated dog houses. But actually, in many places, it is against the law when it's this cold to leave your dogs unattended outside. It's wrong. Because they really can suffer from frostbite, for starters. That's at best.
Right.
At worst, they really can die. And if you have an indoor outdoor cat, please, that cat ought to be indoors. I don't care what the cat is saying to you. That cat needs to be indoors at least for the next couple of days.
And what do you recommend for folks who always, you know, sort of see that stray cat that's hanging around outside? Is there anything we can do for those cats who we know just aren't going to be inside at all?
Yeah, so for people that do trap, neuter, return. I mean, there are lots of reasons why I love programs like that. Helps to control in a very humane way, an effective way, feline populations of community or feral cats. Those people also provide shelter for those cats. I mean, it's part of what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So those cat colonies at least have the advantage of having a shelter. If there's a cat that kind of hangs around your house that's an outdoor cat, straw is actually the best option.
Okay.
And provide some. It doesn't mean the cat will take advantage of that. If the cat is too fearful, maybe not. But if it's a cat that hangs around all the time, the cat might do it. And cats are really adept at finding warm places, and that's both good and bad. So the good news is cats are adept at finding warm places, but some of them may be dangerous. One is under car hoods.
Right.
So that's why I say do what Tony Orlando may do and
knock three times on the car hood.
No, you're right. There was a cat that would get in. We never really knew how the neighborhood cat got into our garage, but we learned to start looking for the cat if we were backing out or when we were pulling in. But she would hide in our garage for warmth. So that's a good idea. Just, you know, if you happen to know that there's a cat that hangs around your area, knock on the hood. Straw is a great idea. I love that idea. And by the way, Steve, I was talking to a friend of mine who had finally broke down and bought his dog some little booties. Tell us a little bit about keeping your dog, you know, if you're not going to leave him out too long, but even going for that walk, what kind of precautions and safety measures can you take for your dog?
Well, if you're going for a walk rather than just, you know, if you're going down to the backyard and the dog's really got to go, first of all, in this weather, dogs will respond in a couple of different ways if you just let them out in the backyard. One is they may do their business. So, great. Other dogs will run around a couple times, sniff, and then, oh, my God, yeah, I'm getting really cold, and run back in the house. Right. So you've got a loaded weapon there because the dog hasn't done what the dog is supposed to do. What's more, you're not outside with the dog, so you may not know that you have a loaded weapon. You may have assumed, because the dog typically does business out there when you let the dog out or the dog goes through the doggy door, but for understandable reasons, this time the dog hasn't done it, especially with small dogs, but other dogs as well. Sometimes they'll run out and they will just stand there like they are a statue. They will, it's like they're frozen.
Really?
And they will add, like, and look like at you like, what the heck do you want me to do out here?
Right.
So for those dogs that for one reason or another aren't doing business, the answer you're not going to like.
Okay.
And I can either talk to you after the newscast with that answer or tell you right now.
We can, you know what we can do? We'll do a few minutes after the news.
Okay.
That makes sense. Look at you. You know what's so funny, Tom? Whenever we have Steve Dale on the show, he knows what my clock is. I have guests coming up after the news, but we'll do a quick hit with you and wrap up and make sure we have all the information that pet owners need to have. We are talking to Steve.
That's really important. I'm sorry, Patty. That's really important. And actually, I have some super secret tips that will help motivate your dogs to do their business outside.
Oh, okay. Well, let's find those out after the break and the news. More after this. Go to stevedale.tv for all the great work that he has there, including information that we're talking about right now. More after this on 720 WGN. World-renowned pet expert Steve Dale joins us on the line. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show on 720 WGN. And Steve was telling us he had information that you need to know about your pets, how to care for them in this weather. And you said there was something about making sure that they do their business and get back in the house that we weren't going to like. What?
Well, right. Yeah. So here's what you're not going to like. The best way to do it isn't just to let your dog out in the backyard. As I described, the dogs may run around in a circle and not do their business. You may not know it. And you've got a dog that's really crossing its legs by the time the dog gets back into the house and then goes in the house, which doesn't make the dog happy, and it certainly doesn't make you happy. Or you have a dog that just stands out there and freezes and just doesn't know what to do because it's so darn cold out. Small dogs especially are likely to do that. So what do? Here's the part you don't like. You take your dog out on a leash, which means you're outside too. That's
right.
The part you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
But you can actually see whether the dog does business or not, but also encourage your dog to do it. So go back to when your dog was a puppy and say, let's go potty, or whatever your keywords are. Let's go woo-woo, whatever it is that you say. And then
okay.
Bring a special reward in your back pocket. Unfortunately, that means you have to take off your gloves to get it, maybe. But give your dog that very special gift for going, because your dog deserves it, for one thing. But it also can motivate your dog, as does your tone of voice and your whole attitude about going. Now, what happens with a lot of dogs is they do number one or number two, but it's just too cold out to do both. So you might have to make an extra trip or two outside, or three or four during the day, really. But the other thing is that most dogs do number two twice a day, some more often, some less often, but on average, really, most of them go twice a day. They don't need to. They can skip a day or two. That's all we're talking here, a couple days, happily. So if your dog goes once a day, number two, for a couple days. Now, a lot of dogs just aren't going to want to go at all. So how can you motivate those dogs to go? So dogs that are already trained to go in a litter box, and there are litter boxes for dogs, very small dogs, fine. But you're not going to likely train your dog to do that overnight. You can get, if you can get it, some grass, little parts of, I don't think they sell it this time of year, you know, the little small pieces of real grass, not the artificial grass.
Right.
Because that's not going to smell or act like the real grass. If you could do that and put it in your bathroom, that's fine, you know, but I don't think you're going to do that. So what do you do? So one little tip is to exercise the dog before the dog goes out. So when you're moving, as opposed to just laying on the couch, trying to keep warm under a blanket with your dogs, when you're moving, you're more likely to need to go, especially in the cold. I don't want you to play with your dog in the cold outside, but I want you to play with your dog a bit inside. Good physical exercise is something to do while your dog is all cooped up. Just take a squeaky toy or whatever your dog likes. But the other thing is actually, this is the good secret to know, it actually gets your bladder waking up and your bowel system waking up, and it might help to encourage your dogs to do what you want your dogs to do outside.
That's a great idea. I love the idea of encouraging your dogs. And you know, it's not a bad idea to keep them active indoors, and that helps you too, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely.
Keep moving.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing is, okay, you've got your kids inside too now, right? So the kids aren't in school. They've got nothing to do. The dog's got nothing to do. So create games they can play together. One great game is hide and seek. So have your kids go hide in the closet, under a bed, in a shower stall. And especially if they have a dog treat with them, and then set your dog off and say, go find little Joey. And your dogs will get, so it's exercise, brain exercise too, but at least a bit of physical exercise for the dogs. And also, it gives the kids something to do as well.
Exactly. Yeah, we're all going to be having cabin fever the next couple of days as schools are closed. And is there anything else that we're leaving off the table that you want to make sure that people know about in these extreme conditions when it comes to their pets?
Sure. I could talk about a lot of things, but one would be frostbite. So, you know, there are obvious signs of frostbite, and I can go through some of them for dogs. Or cats, by the way. Cats can get frostbite just as easily. You know, swelling of the affected areas, blisters, actually skin looking blackish or brownish. But we don't want to get anywhere near that point. Well, until they make earmuffs for dogs or tail gloves for dogs, it's really a problem. And those are the places where it's most likely, the extremities, just like in people, where they're most likely to occur. So the idea is to prevent that from happening. So if the weather guy on TV or our own weather people on WGN radio say, and they do, I've heard them say this, in 10 minutes you will get frostbitten when the temperature is like this. The same thing is true for dogs, number one. And number two, the question I get asked a lot, people assume, well, dogs don't feel frostbite. Well, they do, and they feel it the same exact way we do. So if I didn't mean frostbite, I meant wind chill.
Okay.
So if the wind chill is 65 below for us, it is 65 below for our dogs as well. Another concern that I have, and a story like this was in the news, where so it got really cold really fast. If you remember, hard to remember, a whole week ago, it was in the 30s, and, you know, nothing was frozen over, and now everything is frozen over. But how frozen over is it? And by the weekend, it'll be warm again, so the dog goes out on what looks like ice, and it is ice, but it's really thin ice. And if your dog falls through, the dog can die of hypothermia, but then we rescue the dog and we put ourselves in danger. So keep dogs off unless you absolutely know that pond, river, or lake is frozen and frozen thick. Keep them off.
Yeah. No, there was a near tragedy just yesterday where someone had to go in after their dog. So please, everyone, heed the warnings that Steve Dale is sharing with you. And, of course, you're going to be hearing about this for the next couple of days, both for yourself, for the pets in your life. And, by the way, Steve, before we let you go, the 815 says, no question, but I just want to say how much I love Steve's dedication to pets and his wonderful demeanor no matter the time or day or which show I hear him on. Kudos. Great tips that seem like common sense but aren't always.
Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you. And that's from a listener, but I think that they speak for a lot of us right now. So thank you so much, Steve. Be warm.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Keep safe to you and everyone. And all family members, including those with four legs.
There you go. Steve Dale, you can listen to him Sunday mornings at 6:30 till 7. And you can go to stevedale.tv for all the great things that he writes there. Be warm. Go cuddle.
Thank you, Patty.
All right.
Thank
bye,
you.
Steve. More in a moment on 720 WGN. This is some great music. We are in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and this is part of the soundtrack from Rendezvous in Chicago. We have writer, director, Michael. Do you go by your middle name, Michael G. Smith? Or?
I do. I have to use all three.
All three?
There are so many Michael Smiths.
Well, that's a good point. That's
you've probably heard of the Christian singer Michael W. Smith.
No.
I have to differentiate.
I see. Do you guys get confused for each other?
Exactly.
Well, I'm so glad that you're in studio. God, we've known each other for such a long time. I mean, how you were right at Zany's?
Yeah. Well, my wife was the office manager at Zany's, and I was next door at the tobacco shop. Yeah.
That was like the late 90s, wasn't it?
No.
Okay, never mind.
2004.
Okay, never mind. It all goes together. It all sort of blends together. I'm so excited for this film, Rendezvous in Chicago, and you've brought producer Lane Marie with you. Hi, Lane Marie. How are you doing tonight?
Hello. I am doing well. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Do you like to use all three names, or is Lane Marie okay?
Lane Marie is my first name, okay. So that's perfect.
All right, then. We will stop there and not address the last name.
You could do my last name, too. Just, depends on the situation.
Right. I'm not being stern with you, so I'm not using all of your names.
True.
I was talking to Tom messaged me last week. He goes, you're having Michael G. Smith on? And I was like, yeah, is that okay? I never know, right? Because you reached out to me, and I was like, sure. And he was over the moon. He loves your movie. I know that he'll be doing the Q&A when you have this at the Gene Siskel Film Center.
He is going to be hosting the first Q&A.
Excellent.
And another friend of your show, Matt Fagerholm, is actually hosting the final Q&A.
Yes, it's a wonderful circle of friends.
Yeah, well, that's one of the cool things about our upcoming run is, we have a very unique Q&A each of the four nights. So we have different critics moderating, and mm-hmm. we also have different panelists.
And you have gone to several of the film fests around the country.
The new film, Rendezvous, premiered in October in upstate New York at the Adirondack Film Festival, mm-hmm. and we had a great response there. And then we played in Virginia, and so now we're bringing it back home to Chicago.
And how long have you and Lane Marie had a business relationship, a film relationship? Because I know you're also a filmmaker and director in your own right. What brought you to this project? Was this something that Michael Glover Smith was like, you got to work on this with me?
Yeah, essentially. We met, actually, ironically, at the Gene Siskel Center. When was that? Like
2017? Yeah, 2017.
It was at the Oscars party. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, Pamela Powell introduced us, and I promptly handed him my business card, as I want to do. And and then he looked me up and then asked me out for coffee. And so we shop talked and...
And we were originally going to do another film together. Two other films.
He came to me with two features.
Oh, boy.
See, what I love about Lane Marie is she is, she is a very hardworking producer. She's the kind of person who likes to get stuff done. So when I met her and she put her business card in my hand, mm-hmm. and she was the only person who did that at that party.
Okay.
I thought, this is the kind of person I need to team up with.
Because there's plenty of people who say, oh, I'd love to work with you on something, or we should do this, and then it never goes anywhere, right? You have to follow through.
Exactly. And she's a hustler, and I'm a hustler. And when a hustler meets a hustler...
Oh, boy.
This a certain, mutual recognition passes between them.
It's true.
And this is not an easy undertaking, too, to do vignettes, right? In order to keep this sort of the theme of love, beginning, middle, and wherever things end up. Is it something that you have, are drawn to with the storytelling nature of it?
Well, this was something new for me because this is my third feature film mm-hmm. as a writer-director, but the first two are just one narrative.
Okay.
And so I thought it would be interesting to do an anthology of three vignettes examining three different couples. And it actually, I think, was easier.
Really?
Yeah, believe it or not, because it was like making three short films.
Sure.
That's how we thought of it. We attacked it that way. We said, okay, we're going to spend a couple days shooting this one, then we're going to move on to the next one. We'll spend a couple days with that one, and then we'll do the third one.
In telling these stories then and making it a vignette movie, is it also, because it's sort of fresh all the way through for you and for the,
Yeah, it right? was. Yeah, it was like every day was kind of a new adventure.
Right.
But conceptually, I think it was maybe a little bit more daring because the idea behind it is, we're examining three different couples.
Right.
And so the very first story, it's about a man just hitting on a woman in a wine bar.
Right.
So they haven't even gotten together, and we don't know if they will or not. It's not even a first date. It's like before that. So And then later on, you have a couple who's just moved in together, and then, you know, the third couple have been living together for a while. So what I wanted to examine was conflict, you know, because the conflict that exists between couples is very different depending on where you are.
Sure. Oh, no doubt about it. Right. Yeah. Right. How much experience, how much baggage is there?
Exactly.
And how much baggage you bring from a previous relationship if you're...
Yeah.
Right? If you're being...
Exactly.
If you're being hit... I mean, I was watching some of the clips as well in the wine bar, and, you know, and it's, you know, we have this sort of attitude when a guy comes up to us, don't you think, Lane Marie, where it depends on where, how you've been approached before, where, what mood you're in.
Totally.
Right? And if you want to be, if you want to establish conflict right away with somebody who's trying to approach you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. Right. Like, if you're not in the mood for that and somebody just comes up to you, it doesn't really matter how cute they are. You're like, oh, just leave me in peace.
Right. I just want to read this book or enjoy what I'm eating or drinking or whatever that. And it's sort of weird to sort of the presumptuousness that we should be receptive to it.
Right. Because a lot of times, you don't necessarily know if this person is safe.
Right.
You know, like, this person could potentially hurt you. And so I feel like, for me at least, whenever any man approaches me, I'm like, mm-hmm. Where's the nearest exit?
I think that's fair. And yet, but then do you ever have that feeling like, if I act that way, then I seem like I'm coming across as too harsh or severe as a woman? And I'm saying bitch is what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's always a little bit of a fear for us as women.
Well, and that's the thing too, is that when we talk about relationships, it's like we're all in, you know, it depends on when you catch us or who we're trying to be, who we're trying to present to somebody, right?
Yeah.
And that continues to be, you know, present no matter where you are. What stage you're at, the beginning, middle, or, you know, been together for a long time, don't you think?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. What face you're trying to put forward.
Yep, exactly.
Right.
And so that was kind of the impetus for the film was, mm-hmm. you know, how do, you know, couples communicate with each other? You know, how is it similar? How is it different depending on where you are?
Right.
Yeah. And I think it's something everyone can relate to because, you know, we've all experienced all of those stages.
It's interesting because the show before this, Bella and Bella Gandhi and Dr. John Duffy were talking about relationships and people trying to find love. And Bella was talking about how you have to be patient, how you have to, and then it's work.
Yeah.
And I remember being in relationships where someone would tell me, like, this is just too much work.
Yeah.
Right? Well, what you're saying is, I'm not worth it because it's always going to be work. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And maybe if the work feels easy, that's one thing. Right?
Yeah, I feel like it's tricky to say because some of my girlfriends and I will talk about the fact that right at the beginning, if it's really difficult and like really trying, maybe it's not necessarily like the right fit.
Right.
But agreed, any relationship, whether that's your friends, your parents, anything, professional pursuit, it's going to take work. So it's just it's a matter of whether or not you're willing to put in that work.
Right. And again, it depends on, you know, because maybe it's just not the person you want to put that time in for. We are hanging out with Michael Glover Smith and Lane Marie Williams. Michael has written and directed Rendezvous in Chicago, and the dates at for the premiere and the page that people can visit.
The Chicago premiere is going to be at the Gene Siskel Film Center on Friday, February 8th. And then there's going to be three encore screenings, Saturday the 9th, Monday the 11th, and Wednesday the 13th.
Filmed right here in Chicago. These are Chicago stories. Lane Marie Williams, producer on this project and also director in her own right. We'll talk more about their careers and the stories that they tell when we come back on 720 WGN. We are talking to filmmakers Lane Marie Williams and Michael Glover Smith. And I said, you know what? We're going to talk to our car guy at midnight. And I thought, you know what? Warren has a lot to do. It's going to be a busy time for him over the next few days. Let's go. Let him go ahead and let him go to bed. Hey, Warren Price, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, my God. Someone just waked me up.
Say hi to my friends, Michael and Lane Marie. They're in studio with me. They're filmmakers here in Chicago.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Lane Marie. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I feel good. Took a nap before I came on.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So you just woke up and you're like, hey, when am I coming on? I think this is a good idea because actually I was asking Michael if he drove. He's like, no, I Ubered. But you do have Toyota Yaris. I have my Toyota Prius. Warren, we have questions about how to, you know, right now it's probably a little late to do all the prep work, right? To get the gas in there, get the windshield wiper fluids. We've been telling people to put a blanket in their car. So now we're in the thick of the Arctic weather. What should people know about what might happen tomorrow when they try to start their cars?
Pray, first of all, that they have good batteries.
Okay. All right.
If you don't have a good battery, the first thing that's going to happen is you will not start. starts.
Okay. So be aware of that. Okay.
Be aware of that. I truly believe that batteries, some manufacturers say that they're good for, 48 months, 60 months. Well, I never met a battery that I didn't love that was 3 years old.
Okay. So that's... That's something for future reference, folks. If you know your batteries,
know your battery well, because for $150, $200, whatever the price is, it's a serious grief saver.
Okay. So you get in your car and nothing lights up. You're not getting anything. Most likely it's your battery.
Well, not necessarily. It's not going to light up.
Okay.
There's a sequence of events that occur. You're going to crank your car and it's going to go, because the oil in the engine has gotten extremely thick. It won't freeze, but it's real thick, and it's creating your engine to turn slowly, which draws more juice out of your battery, and your fuel system, which is trying to produce fuel to mix in your combustion chamber, will soak the inside of your combustion chamber and maybe put out the flame that might be on your spark plug.
Okay.
And all that oil or gasoline that's unburned is going to go into the engine, and it's going to start to make the oil thinner, but less functional, and it's going to cost you money then to get an oil change. At the end of the day, you're going to have to possibly have your car towed because it didn't start, and just creates more dollars of negativity and grief and anguish.
Okay, so if that oil is getting thick like that, is there anything you can do? Like, let's say, you set your alarm for every few hours in the middle of the night, and you go out and start your car and let it warm up for a little bit. Will that help make sure it starts tomorrow?
Absolutely, if you have a good battery still. It's still the battery. The battery's got to be healthy.
Okay. All right, because these texts are coming from inside my house.
I'm sorry?
My husband is texting right now. If folks need to keep their cars going through the cold snap, what can they do? Do they need to start the car every few hours, which is what I asked you? Would it be more helpful to even drive it around every few hours?
Yeah, but you don't have to do that.
Okay.
If your battery's good.
Okay, so
if your battery's good, it doesn't take but a second for it to fire over and spark and go.
Okay.
It goes rah 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 boom.
All right. So
once you get past 4 seconds, 5 seconds of cranking, you've got an issue.
So don't, if you have 4 or 5 seconds of cranking, give up. Don't. A lot of people will keep trying over and over again. Is that harmful at all?
Well, eventually you're going to have no power because it's just going to drain out.
Okay. So it's not a great idea to keep trying. Once you find out, once you feel resistance, stop.
It's what they say about the Borg, resistance is futile.
Okay, so my husband's next question is, by the way, 312-981-7200. We've got Warren Price from European and U.S. Auto at 4080 North Broadway. You can go to the website and find it. They open at 7 a.m., so if you're finding that you have trouble in the morning, you know where to go. Steve wants to know, if you don't need your car until Friday or later, can you just let it sit on the street and wait until the weather's warmer and then start it up?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's okay. It's all right to leave it idle over the next few days.
Now, absolutely.
Now, Warren, a lot of people like to warm their car up. First of all, is it necessary in this weather or any cold weather to warm your car up for like 15, 20 minutes?
Not 15, 20 minutes. You don't have to go to that extreme.
Okay.
You could wait 2 to 3 minutes because once it starts moving, it's moving. And it normally takes about 7 minutes for the thermostat to open in an engine and for water to flow warm through the car and start to get heat.
Okay, so that answers his next question, because he said, can you warm it up for too long? But you're saying after a couple minutes, it's best to just start driving.
It's not best to. It's just you don't have to wait that long.
Okay.
You could, you know.
Well, you just burn gas.
Yesterday morning, I got up, and Lily and Claire were getting ready to go to school, and I went out to the garage, and I started the car up, and then I came back in.
There you go. Now, this is the coldest snap we've had in decades. What do you expect for folks tomorrow when they, is there anything unique that they, besides the fact that their battery might not be up to par or the fact that their oil is going to get thicker? Is there anything else they should keep in mind when it comes to driving their car in this weather or even trying to start it?
Well, hopefully that they did prepare already by giving themselves plenty of fluids in your washer solvent. You've got good wiper blades. It's going to be, potentially, your washers are still not going to work in sub-zero weather because the nozzles will freeze quickly. It might not help at all. Have a blanket in the car. Your car's going to make unusual noises under this real cold weather.
It's going to be mad at you, isn't it?
Yeah. It's going to do things. You know, you're going to hear stuff. You're going to go, oh, my God. It's not going to be bad, but you'll get through it.
All right.
Be ready. Give yourself more than ample time to go wherever you're going to go.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And that should be, you know, in general, that should be the case. But in particular, as we get through this this brutally cold weather, we have listener Joe who has a question for you. Hey, Joe, how are you doing tonight?
Real good, Patty. Unusual time for me to call. Tire pressure. I know that, you know, if a car's been sitting in a garage for a while, or on the street, whatever, it tends to settle down, if you will. And tire pressure is lost as temperature decreases. Is there a equation for that? You know, 10 degrees equals what in PSI or what?
You got the wrong guy.
Oh, okay. Fair question, fair answer.
There you go. Yeah,
I have no clue about the equation. All I know is that you will notice now with these tire pressure sensors that are in cars today that at 32 degrees, you're going to see sometimes a light come on that says you don't have enough tire pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not necessarily that it's a tremendous amount that's not there, but enough to kick on that switch.
Well, see, the deal is I might park my car in a garage all the time, and I had to go to the dentist today, and I haven't used the car for 3 days. So I made sure I took it especially low until, the tires got some flexibility into them, a little, whatever, because they're kind of stiff, if you will. And I could notice that every time I went over a bump, it was a little bit more noticeable, put it that way. So I guess tires are very important, too, when it comes to cold temperatures.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
Them a little bit, I guess, is the right advice.
True, true, true. The rubber itself is going to get hard just because
exactly.
of the cold.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
You know, all of a sudden, the rubber is going to turn more to stone because it's cold.
Yep. So if you break them in easily, you know, just like anything else, I'm not a stamp on the accelerator, hit the brake at the lights, baby everything. I think everything is a little bit more agreeable as far as a car's operation standards are concerned.
Be a patient driver.
There you go, Joe.
No, don't go anywhere fast.
There you go. Everyone be patient drivers. Thank you so much for calling, Joe. Appreciate
it. It was very funny today. We had an instance where a guy named Joe, I swear, came to the shop, and I walked back in from my ride over to Northside this morning, and he said I needed air in my tire. Well, where are you? He says, I'm 2 blocks away across the street from Thoric, so that's a hospital right down the street. And so me and Arturo hopped in a car with an air tank. We went over to the car, and the tire was off the rim. He was driving, he lost the air. He kept driving, and he didn't even realize because of the cold that he was actually driving on his steel rim.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Yes. Okay. Thank God he had a spare tire.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it was a good spare. You have to make sure your rescue equipment is in order and ready to go.
Yes. Well, and to that, yes, be prepared. I know that for some people, it might be late in the game as far as gas and all the fluids that you need. Make sure your tire pressure is good to go. But tomorrow, be patient. Take your time. It may not, don't panic if your car's not starting. It's going to be incredibly cold. Before we let you go, Warren, I want to thank you so much for your time and let you go back to bed. But from the 708, hey, Patty, this is your engineer friend, Jeff in Homewood, a U of I grad. I've never met Warren, but he always impresses me as one of the most knowledgeable mechanics I've ever heard. I would trust him to work on my car anytime. Thanks for having him on. And everyone can visit Warren at European and U.S. Car Service. Their website is U.S. What is the website? Euro U.S. Auto.
EuroUS.com.
Excellent. And the phone number.
It's European U.S. .com, EuroPeanUS.com.
And we'll be talking to Warren during the auto show. So we'll find out more about the cars that are out there and how to keep taking care of your car. Thank you so much, Warren. I know it's going to be busy for you, so
hey,
get some rest.
Have a great day. Enjoy the Gene Siskel show. That sounds really interesting.
We'll have to get you out to see the film. It's Rendezvous in
like
Chicago.
Very much.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Warren. Get some sleep. Right. Thank you so much.
Night-night. Bye.
Night-night. More with our guests, Michael Glover Smith and Lane Marie Williams in their film Rendezvous in Chicago. We'll talk about that and what it takes to make a movie right here in Chicago. It's such a great family of filmmakers here. So maybe not a family. I mean, maybe there's some extended cousins and maybe some folks that you turn out to talk to. We'll find out. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Three Tales of Love in the City, written and directed by Michael Glover Smith, produced by Lane Marie Williams. We're talking about Rendezvous in Chicago. And tell me, Lane Marie and Michael, what is Women in the Now? Was this a production? Is it your production company?
It is.
What a great name for your company.
Oh, thank you.
Because it feels like now, right?
It's very present tense.
Very present tense. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Alabama.
Oh,
can
hello.
You tell?
No, I cannot.
Oh, good. You're like, she's not from here, though.
No, I always ask people where they're from. Okay. I'm fascinated. I spent 3 weeks in Birmingham doing stand-up comedy, and it was it's something I'll never forget.
Yeah, oh, I can only imagine.
It was interesting. What part of Alabama?
Montgomery.
Montgomery. And what brought you to Chicago?
Well, it's a long story, but...
Oh, boy. We're here for a bit.
Short version, left Montgomery, moved to Philadelphia, studied acting, fell into the film industry, what I lovingly say, by accident.
Mm-hmm.
Started the Women's Film Festival. From that was birthed Women of the Now. Decided to move to Chicago, figure out like what it meant to do film on a bigger scale. And now I've been here for almost 4 years.
Now, when it comes to studying acting and you say you fell into film, is there something, you know, that drew you to understand, okay, you know, I could audition for people, I could try to fit what they're looking for, I could try to solve their problems, but I'd rather solve all the bigger problems of telling a story?
Yeah, I mean, I think also I'm somebody who likes to be in charge, and so that was kind of the biggest thing. Because when I was acting, I was spending all this time trying to curate myself to be whatever the casting director, writer, producer wanted me to be. And that was fun because I'm like definitely a chameleon and still am. But yeah, I just got to like a breaking point where we started making films because we just felt like we had to.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my other actress friends and I started that whole thing, and now I'm just like totally obsessed with making movies.
No, and there is there's something so transcendent about an experience when you're watching these stories on the screen. You know, I was watching it's the silliest thing, but we enjoyed it so much. It's this movie called The Gifted, which obviously stars this big, you know, action hero. It was Chris Evans, who plays Captain America, but it's a sweet little movie about his relationship with his niece, and we were watching it, and I was with my whole family, and it reminded me of what brings us to movies, right? Whether it's sitting in the dark in a theater or, you know, sort of seeing another slice of life that you wouldn't otherwise, right? And that seems as though, you know, we were talking about this movie, Rendezvous in Chicago with three vignettes, you know, what you strive to do in this is like not just have a slice of life, but a slice of life that can be told in different ways from different, you know, aspects. And I love that idea, right? Because people think of anthologies or vignettes as like Love Actually.
Right.
Mm. Right?
Yeah.
That's their...
Which I think is great, by the
yes.
way.
Yes. Well, it's funny how much, like, the cult of Love Actually has grown, don't you think?
You know what? I hated Love Actually the first time
I saw it,
and then I grew to love it over time.
How is that? I wasn't in love with it when I first saw it. I was like, oh, that was nice. And like, I saw it a few weeks ago, and I'm like, yeah, that was nice. But the sort of either visceral reaction to hating it,
yeah,
or this incredibly, you know, deep, I love it so much. But that's what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
This is what movies do to us.
Right.
In so many different ways. So I love that you, as you said, fell into it, you know, and then you found a community.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think the community here is really strong in Chicago as well. It's been very welcoming to just kind of deep dive into it.
And what does it take? I mean, one is the story, right? To have this narrative or to figure out how, you know, what's... I read this great quote that, you know, that a script is an invitation to everyone to make this piece of art. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's the beginning part of it. Now you're asking everyone to participate, the director, the actors, the crew, and everybody.
It's the blueprint,
yeah,
or the treasure map, if you will. And for a film like this, Patty, we shot this movie in 8 days.
Get out of here.
Which is super fast for a feature film. So, you know, and people still ask me after every screening, they say, how much of that was improvised? And the answer is none of it, because we didn't have enough, you know, we didn't have enough time. So everything had to be planned to the last detail. We met with the actors in advance and rehearsed all of the scenes in advance.
I would imagine.
You know, days prior to shooting. So, and we were shooting 10 to 12 hour days.
Having seen the scenes, I can't even imagine that this is what you did in 8 days, because everything feels so, you know, comfortable.
Yeah.
Because that takes a while to get there with a script and with takes.
Mm. Well, first of all, you know, I had Lane Marie Williams as my right-hand man, so. And she comes with a whole army of women, so, and they all know each other very well. So that was, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to hire her, you know. I needed somebody who was gonna, you know,
Get you across the finish line.
Get me
across the finish line.
Let me take a break here. We're going to continue our conversation. We're hanging out with Michael Glover Smith and Lane Marie Williams. And there's a question from a texter from the 815. They want to know if you grew up somewhere. And we'll talk about that after the news. Well, one way to spend time in these cold weather moments and chill is to think about some great stories. What great stories do you love? What kind of movies are you going to watch over the next couple of days? And we want to tell you about a movie that you can go see in the next couple of weeks. This is going to be February. Wait, I have all the information in front of me. I had time. Like, you sent me so much information. I was like, I don't know where to begin.
I sent you the press kit, I believe.
Well, the cast, the crew. I love this. I know, but when we were talking, I was trying to scroll through all of this. Yeah. We have Michael Glover Smith, who is a writer and director of Rendezvous in Chicago, a tale of three couples.
It's
all a Chicago tale.
Yes,
really. Yeah. And that's the remarkable thing about this.
Three couples, three stories, but one city.
Exactly. Yeah. And Lane Marie Williams, who is the producer on this project, and Women in the Now is her company. How many people do you have? Is this you? Women of the Now.
Yeah, so we have a board, like a board of directors, and there's 7 of us.
Oh.
But we also just voted some new people on, so we're growing, which is exciting.
And that's a fan. I mean, that's what we need. I mean, it sounds like, you know, when we talk about, you know, collectives, or, you know, there's a black-owned company, or there's a female-driven business, it's because there's a need for more stories. I mean, you can look at the Academy Award nominations and see that it's getting better, but, you know, in some ways it's not. There's still so much more work to do.
Yeah, and that was super important to me as a, you know, straight white man, you know, writing these diverse love stories. I mean, I've always kind of prided myself on writing strong female characters, so it only made sense that we would have, you know, strong women behind the camera as well, crewing up the film. And we also have an interracial gay love story. That's the second one.
Cats and Dogs.
Yeah, Cats and Dogs, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because diversity is important.
It is, and, you know, sometimes I'll get texts from folks, and they're like, oh, you know, if it's good, it doesn't matter what color they are. There are choices that are made on so many different levels that it's just about being aware.
Exactly.
It's not that hard, but we make it a little bit. I guess people, don't you think people dig in? They get defensive. They feel like they're being, you know. But so to that, you know, when we talk about romance and these different points in the relationship, you mentioned that you did this in 8 days. And that's a lot to bring to the table. Well, first of all, was it 8 days because of the budget? Was this a challenge? Someone said, hey, I bet you couldn't do this in 8 days.
Well, you know, time is money, right? So if you have no money, then you have no time.
Okay.
But I almost hate to tell people that we did it that quickly, because then they assume it's cheap.
Yes, you know what I mean? Assume that at all.
They assume that you had to cut a bunch of corners, but the truth is we had all the time that we needed.
Okay.
And we also had all the money that we needed. I mean, you know, I'll tell you, we spent $20,000 to make this film. So this is a micro budget film, but I always tell people, you know, if somebody had given me $100,000 and said, I want you to make this movie better, you know, I wouldn't have done it. I would have written another script, because we wrote this so that it could be done at that level, if that makes sense.
It does. I mean, because you imagine, where am I going to shoot this? How much space will I need for this?
Exactly.
What kind of sound equipment will I need to be outside?
Yeah.
To be in this, you know, whatever the levels are that you're going to have to, you know, or again, for the crew, how many people
am I going to need? And so you make those budgets. Now, how do you borrow money? Is this on a credit card? Because I've had friends. No, I've had friends who have like shot a TV pilot and put it all on their credit card.
This was a mixture of crowdfunding. We used a great there's a great crowdfunding website called Seed and Spark,
okay,
which is like Kickstarter or Indiegogo, but it's only for film production. So I highly recommend it for independent filmmakers. And then we also had equity investors as well. So it was kind of a combination of the two.
Oh, see? That's the thing, is that we were talking about the community and also people who are invested, not just, financially, but want to see something succeed.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Right, because then you're building a relationship with those people as well, and that could eventually affect whatever it is you create together next and all that good stuff.
And that's really what it's about. It's building those relationships. And so because you want to have that support, whether it's telling the story or getting it off the ground.
Right.
Yeah. So this is going to be on February 8th at the Gene Siskel Center, Film Center. And what's the website people can go to buy tickets? We're not done. I just want to make sure that we keep letting people know.
It's www.siskelfilmcenter.org.
And this is going to be on Friday, February 8th at 8 p.m., also Saturday, February 9th at 4:30, Monday the 11th at 7:45, and Wednesday the 13th at 7:45 as well. So you have
perfect pre-Valentine's Day
it is.
Viewing.
Dress fancy.
And you're going to have the cast and crew there.
The cast and crew will be there, and there's the cutest dog. There's a Shih Tzu in the movie, and the Shih Tzu is going to be on the red carpet for the first show on February 8th.
How wonderful. And our very own Tom Hush will be there for the first evening. Tom, you're in this conversation. You don't have to hang back behind the glass.
Oh, I'm honestly so excited to listen to them talk. I could just be back here. I've talked about this movie and listened to people talk about this movie for so long, and I love it, and it really warms my heart. You're literally in the presence of two of Chicago's great artists in the film arts. It's great.
Tom!
Tom, it was your enthusiasm that made me say, this guy has to do the moderating for opening night.
You're too kind.
It's true.
Too kind.
And when you have the cast and crew there, have you had the opportunity to do this for other screenings?
Oh, yeah. In New York, there were three Women of the Now up there with me, so that was a lot of fun. And then then we had a screening in the suburbs in Des Plaines, and that was a lot of fun. We had most of the cast was there for that as well. So
and that has to be kind of fun, because there's been some time, obviously, since they shot this, since they've been a part of this project and the editing and everything that happens afterwards, and then they come back together and be a part of that moment. It's just fun to watch.
It's like a family reunion.
It is.
That's what I like to joke. It's like, oh, the family's all together again.
Yay. That's a good experience. The energy from that, And because you only had 8 days, I'll bet that they're like, okay, this is great.
Yeah.
We're back together again. We had a listener, Michael, who asked if you grew up in Aurora, Illinois.
So, I did not.
So apparently another Michael Glover Smith. You were saying that Mike Smith was such a common name.
That name has gotten me into a lot of trouble over the years.
Which?
Mike Smith.
Just Mike Smith.
Because people assume that I'm somebody else with the same name.
It's got to be checking into hotels that's hard for you as well.
Yes, they don't believe it.
Is that hourly?
Exactly.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina.
I'm
a Southern boy, and that's, I think, part of the reason why I connected with Lane Marie.
Yeah, because
Southern charm.
Well, it's that, and there's also like coming here and going, oh, okay, all those stories that we were told about these big urban areas aren't necessarily as bad as they are portrayed.
Right.
Yeah. Because I find that so many people do come here and fall in love with the city. It's not the same as New York,
I mean, I think all the cities have like their own thing. Like Philly has its own thing, LA has its own thing, Chicago has its own thing. I'm a big travel bug. Like I love to travel and just like, I don't know, experience.
But Chicago is the best.
Yes, Chicago's great.
Hey,
Chicago's
I'm not asking you to stroke it.
It's too cold right now for my liking.
I mean, Chicago is in the title of the movie. I mean, the movie is a love letter to Chicago.
Michael really likes Chicago a lot.
Yeah.
I do. I would never leave here,
I'm the same way.
I get mad when people go to L.A.
Well, I was telling you off the air that, so I would spend 1 week a month in Los Angeles, and I never got on a flight thinking, oh, I can't believe I have to leave L.A. No. No, I was always like, all right, I'll be back. But I never, it's just, I never felt right. My skin doesn't feel right there.
Right.
So what areas of Chicago did you film Rendezvous in Chicago?
We actually filmed it all over, believe it or not.
That was my sense.
Yeah. There's a prologue in Hyde Park, first of all, on the University of Chicago campus.
Okay.
Where we have a great French actress, Aide Politoff. This was her first movie in 37 years, and she has a great little cameo. And then the first section was shot in Rogers Park, which is where I live. Although, the little dirty secret, the exterior is Rogers Park, but when he goes into the wine bar, it's in the suburbs.
That's okay.
It's Glenview.
We forgive you.
The second story is all Rogers Park, cats and dogs, and then that's all outside
right.
at the lake. And then the third story is on the south side in Bridgeport.
Okay. And the thing about, you know, having those glimpses of Chicago, I mean, there isn't a movie that Chicagoans haven't seen that they were Return to Me. They were just interviewing. Yeah. They had Tom Hush and Dean Richards had Bonnie Hunt on the other day, and there's this aerial shot where you're coming in over the city, and your heart, you just go, oh.
Yeah.
Even like When Harry Met Sally, people love that it started at University of Chicago.
Right.
No matter how mad they got that afterwards they were driving in the wrong direction. All right. But there's just something. I mean, I guess it's true anywhere, but I don't know. Chicago seems to be done so lovingly on film. Mm. We just come across, I think, in such a great, even like The Fugitive. I don't care. It's a little,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually teach a class on Chicago movies.
Oh, you do?
And I'm going to be showing The Fugitive pretty soon.
Have you shown Return to Me?
I have not. I've actually never seen it.
Tom, have you seen Return to Me?
Okay. Unfortunately not.
Okay.
Is that with David Duchovny or?
Yes.
Okay.
And Minnie Driver. Okay. When we come back, I'll tell you how I ran into Minnie Driver at the Esquire Theater when she was filming Return to Me, and I made a complete fool of myself. More on 720 WGN. We're talking to Michael Glover Smith and Lane Marie Williams. They are they want you to go see the movie. I want you to go see the movie Rendezvous in Chicago. Go to SiskelFilmCenter.org, and you can see the premiere on February 8th, where you'll see Tom Hush also emceeing the event, and you can have an opportunity on Saturday the 9th, also on Monday the 11th, and Wednesday the 13th. More in a moment on 720 WGN. On February 8th, you can see the locally produced, directed, written Rendezvous in Chicago film. It's a vignette. It's three tales of love. Tales of love, written and directed by Michael Glover Smith, produced by Lane Marie Williams. And this is a story that is set in Chicago, features some of our neighborhoods. And we love seeing our city on the screen. And I was telling our guests before the break that they needed to see the movie Return to Me, which none of you have seen, including producer Tom Hush, who had Bonnie Hunt on the line Sunday morning.
Listen, I brought her on for Jumanji. I brought her on for Cheaper by the Dozen.
And Die Hard, I hope.
Yeah.
Come oh, on. No, no. Wait,
no, she's
no,
not.
What? I was thinking of Bonnie Bedelia.
Yeah.
No, that's
no.
Right.
Bonnie Hunt.
Never mind. I got excited for a second.
Oh, boy. You know what? I'm going to give away a pizza right now. 312-981-7200. What movie was Bonnie Hunt first remembered for saying, we're walking and we're walking and we're walking? 312-981-7200. There's actually two. If you can guess one of two scenes, her first movie scenes that were really big. One is where she's saying, we're walking. And another one is, a box of toothpicks are dropped on the floor and someone knows exactly how many are missing from the toothpicks. Those are two movies that Bonnie Hunt was in. If you can name one of those two, you've got a gift card from Lou Malnati's. 312-981-7200. I'm obviously a fan of Bonnie Hunt's. Well, she's a Chicagoan who was actually an oncology nurse and was still studying acting in Second City and decided this is what she wanted to do and had a very supportive family and has gone on to make great movies. Now, Return to Me is a film that she wrote and she directed, and it was shot right here in Chicago with Minnie Driver and David Duchovny, Carol O'Connor, Robert Loggia. There are scenes that happen in Twin Anchors, Lincoln Park Zoo. So if you teach a class where, and David Duchovny plays a Chicago architect. Mm. I mean, it's got all those elements. But when they were filming the movie, apparently Minnie Driver decided to take a break and go see a movie at the Esquire Theater, and I had been at the Ditka's Happy Hour, and I had a couple couple martinis, and I see her in line in front of me for popcorn. And in my mind, I'm thinking, don't talk to her. Don't say a word. Don't say a word. Don't say a word. You know, first of all, you've had a couple. You reek of vodka. Don't say anything. She doesn't want to be bothered, right? And then the woman in front of her turns around. She goes, are you Minnie Driver? And she goes, yes, I am. and the woman's like, oh, I'm a big fan. She's like, oh, thank you so much. Right? Really sweet to her and everything. And I'm like, oh, I should have said something. But I wasn't going to say anything. Only she turns to her friend and she says, you know, I was a little worried that no one recognized me. She said, I felt a little bit like Sally Field in Soap Dish. Like, I should go across the river and see if people want my autograph. And then I just let loose. I'm like, oh, I totally know who you were. I was like, I didn't want to say anything. I just vomit, like, just verbal vomit. Just, I can't stop. And she's like, oh. And she, like, stepped out of line to get away from me. That's how loud I was getting. So we have a listener who has a, you have a, is this your guest, Mark? Or do you want to talk about the movie?
Go ahead.
Yes. What's the answer to what were the two movies I was referring to? Yes.
Return to Me was We're Walking, We're Walking, We're Walking.
No, it's not.
It wasn't.
Oh. Man, there's a lot of wrong.
No.
Yeah, no, Return
You're
to Me
right.
is.
Right. It was the movie. I know the movie now.
All right. Well, hold on the line. Yeah. If nobody in this batch of listeners can get it, I'm going to come back to you, okay, Mark? Hold on a second. Don't Google it either. All right, hold on. Stand by. We've got Eric has a guess. Hey, Eric, how are you doing? Eric? What was your guess? What's your guess? Which you have two choices. One, there are toothpicks in the scene where she plays a waitress, or the other scene is we're walking, we're walking, we're walking.
I'm guessing that we're walking, we're walking, we're walking is Jerry Maguire.
It is not, but that's a great guess. I can see her from Bridget Jones.
That's Renee Zellweger.
Renee Zellweger's friend. Yes, she's in the movie, but that is not the movie I'm talking about. But I think we have a winner right here. Cheryl, what movie am I talking about? We're Walking, We're Walking.
That would be Dave.
Yes! That's it. I love that movie with Kevin Klein, who ends up impersonating the president because the president has had a medical condition, and she's giving tours of the White House. I love that. That's one of her early movies. Do you happen to know what the other one was I was talking about?
No, I don't think I heard that.
She plays a waitress, and a box of toothpicks are dropped on the floor.
I know it, Patty. Yeah. Am I eligible for the Lou Malnati's?
You are not eligible, but that's okay.
You wish.
All right, stand by, Cheryl. We've got a Lou Malnati's pizza coming your way. We got a gift card for you, and everyone can visit loumalnati's.com for all the great pizza they have and over 40 Chicagoland locations. You can also have one delivered anywhere in the continental U.S. It's frozen, obviously. Michael, that would be weird if we sent a hot pizza all the way to Washington.
Disaster.
So, no, you can actually, I don't think we have any other guesses for what's the other movie.
It's Rain Man.
It's Rain Man. She plays the waitress when they drop the toothpicks, and Dustin Hoffman knows exactly how many toothpicks were in the box. Because she looks at the box and she's like, no, you're off. That's because there were still some in the box.
Exactly. Yeah. The four that didn't fall out.
Exactly. And I also, you know what? I also saw that movie at the Esquire. God, I used to go to the Esquire all the time when I was like, I don't know, because my mom worked down by there. Anyway, so you have to, I hope that you have a chance to see Return to Me and let me know.
I'm sold.
I'll have you come back and tell me if I'm just crazy.
I will. Like, we'll do a whole episode.
We'll do a whole thing. But we're talking about your movie. I've gone off on a tangent. We're talking about Rendezvous in Chicago, which, by the way, I love all the reviews and awards you've won. Talk a little bit about taking this around to some of the festivals.
Well, yeah, we've been very lucky so far. I mean, you know, I think we were a little nervous when we first played in New York because we're, you know, playing in front of people who don't know who we are.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we're not sure how they're going to respond, but it was a sold out screening. There were over 100 people there and people laughed throughout the whole film. So it was a very positive response. And then the same thing happened in Virginia, rural Virginia. People laughed. And then I thought, okay, if they're laughing in upstate New York and rural Virginia, we'll be okay in Chicago.
Oh, that's gotta be a good feeling.
So yeah, it's good. And then we have a few more festival screenings coming up. We're going to be at the Beloit International Film Festival in late February. We're going to be at the Santa Fe Film Festival in New Mexico on Valentine's Day. And we're going to be in Alabama, in Florence, Alabama, at the George Lindsay Film Festival on February 28th.
That's outstanding.
It's a lot of screenings, yeah.
But it's got to be a good feeling.
It
right?
is. It's almost a little stressful because I have to go to all of them.
They want me to be present for all of them.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, it's a good pressure to have.
So when you when you finish this project and you kind of sit with it, right? You've got it in the finished state that you're going to start sending it out and start screening it and sharing it with people. What's that moment like? What's that the just before you got to where you are now with going all over the country?
It's how I felt about it was I felt really good about it as soon as we were done filming it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, really? Like, even before?
Yeah, I kind of knew. I was proud of it, because the experience of making it was fun.
Yeah.
And we had just a great cast and a great crew. And we did what we set out to do. So even if it had never played anywhere, I wouldn't feel, any different about it.
All right. I love it.
I mean, it's an independent film, Patty. An independent filmmaking is the purest form of filmmaking there is.
Yeah, but you seem so chill about it. Like, some people would, when they're done, they're like, was that what I wanted to do? Did I set out to accomplish everything that I planned out?
Yeah.
But it sounds like...
I would have been that way more if I was in my 20s, but now I'm 43 years old here, so I'm...
You're what?
Yeah. I know, it's hard to believe because of my youthful good looks.
There you go. Do you guys want to stay a little bit longer? Because I'm totally comfortable if you need to go. It's cold out and it's getting late.
I have nowhere to be tomorrow.
We can talk more movies.
My class was canceled, so let's talk movies.
Let's talk movies when we come back. I think we've got a good movie panel here. 312-981-7200. We still have some calls and texts coming in. It was Rain Man. And you know what? I loved hearing her on Dean's show the other day. You guys did a great job with Bonnie Hunt. If you still have her number, just maybe we should
Well, she was on her best behavior. No F-bombs that time.
More in a moment. Has she done that before?
I don't know if on air, but
see,
she's from Chicago.
We all got that streak. She's a Northwest Sider. What are you talking about? We're rough girls. As you just heard in our news broadcast from Vic Vaughn, we may be hitting a record low of negative 13, and in places throughout the country, they are having wind chills of up to, did I hear 50? Negative 52 degrees in places like Dubuque and Minnesota. So people are going to be hunkering down. I hope that you're able to work from home or maybe take the day off. I know it doesn't work for everybody. The kids are going to be home for the next couple of days, and my sons are going to get cabin fever. I just know they are. Fortunately, we have a basement with a lot of different things to do, but we also end up watching a lot of TV. And some of you might want to know what to watch on Netflix. We're talking to filmmakers Michael Glover Smith and Lane Marie Williams. And off the air, we were talking about what are they streaming online. And you're planning out, Lane Marie, you started watching the Ted Bundy documentary.
I did.
This is,
Yeah, literally right before I came here. Was that a good choice? Unclear, but started watching it nonetheless.
It's Conversations with a Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes. And Michael, you were thinking about beginning this.
Yes, my wife wants to watch it. So I think tomorrow we're going to watch it. We have 3 bundles of firewood.
Oh, you have a fireplace?
Oh, yeah. We have a wood-burning fireplace up in Rogers Park. So
that seems like a good way. Now, have you seen any of this yet, Tom?
No, I got too consumed with Zac Efron as Ted Bundy in this new.
I need to watch instead.
Oh, boy. By the way, when I was young, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Mark Harmon played him in the made-for-TV movie. So
that's just, right. I remember.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said Mark Carmen. Mark Carms.
I tried to be
WGN.
I always tried to separate it. Mark Harmon, yes, from St. Elsewhere and otherwise. Now NCS, I guess, would be the range of appearances, and there's everything in between. But yes, he played Ted Bundy when we were kids for the made-for-TV film. Well, for the Netflix, now this is a statement issued by Netflix. They are asking viewers to please stop calling Ted Bundy hot.
But that's like kind of the point, though, right?
That's how he seduced women.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's how they trusted him.
He got them to come into his van.
Yes. Go ahead.
He was a good-looking guy.
Right. So, but the people who are watching it know, like, part of what should make him unattractive.
The irony is disturbing.
is that he's also a serial killer. Like, you can't go that. I mean, I guess we can see now how women write letters to men in prison, I guess, and want to marry them and things like that. I guess we know there are folks out there, but the fact that Netflix has to issue a statement is a little surreal.
Well, I also just feel like you can't really control what your audience is going to think or say. That's really their prerogative.
Uh-huh. Good point.
And also, perhaps the producers or the people, the filmmakers or even Netflix, maybe you should think about the way you're portraying this content.
There you go.
Like, take some responsibility. Don't blame your audience. Take some responsibility.
Well, and also it's possible that they're making the statement to generate more viewers.
Right.
To get more people.
I hope not.
I don't know. I, you know. That's I know. I go there. That's how my brain works. They also, now Netflix also had to issue warnings after Bird Box came out, begging people to not do Bird Box challenges, which included somebody having a car accident in Utah, right? People are trying to... This is, I mean, so, you know, it's actually...
I think you're right. It's marketing.
It is marketing. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I don't want it to be that.
Did I make it too nefarious?
I just want them to be good...
Now, do you see, you know, a lot of people don't look for independent films as much on some of these, you know, Netflix gives you an opportunity to have access to such a wide range. Obviously, so does Hulu and Amazon. Mm-hmm. What do you guys, are there, what draws you to something? I mean, it's not just like the cover or the image, you know, what draws you to something on Netflix or a streaming service? Is it, I mean, obviously Ted Bundy's kind of a curiosity, you know, it's something that we all kind of grew up with, kind of knowing in the background, there's just, you know, a handsome serial killer, but...
I think like the director and the aesthetic of the film, and then also the synopsis.
Yeah.
Those are the three things I look for.
Yeah, sure. we're filmmakers, and I'm also a film studies instructor, so I very rarely browse to look for something.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of know what I want to see already based on, you know.
Things that come up.
Yeah, and director is...
Is really big. So who are some of the directors? I mean, maybe some that we're not familiar with that we should be looking for their work. I don't want to put you on the spot.
I'm currently like just got a bad for Alex Garland.
So he did
Annihilation, Ex Machina. I mean, I just got it real bad for Alex Garland.
I just
want to be him. I think he's great. Big fan.
Excellent. I'm writing it down right now. Alex, Annihilation.
Have you seen Annihilation?
I have. I liked it quite
you
a
liked
bit.
It?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So that's a sci-fi film that's like a thinking person sci-fi. Yeah.
Yep.
It's very well done. And also very female-centric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh,
great cast.
Alex. See, and that's a thing. That's smart because I think a lot of us look for the stars, right? Mm-hmm. That we look for the who's starring in this movie.
Mm. Yeah.
We don't necessarily look as much for the directors. Who are you? Are there any that come to mind for you, Michael?
In terms of directors? Mm-hmm. There's so many that I can't even think of who to name.
Well, because we all have our mainstreams, right?
Yeah.
We have all those, you know, whether it's you know, Spielberg or Howard or, you know, mm-hmm. all the folks that, you know, we are kind of drawn to. But and I know, Tom, you probably have some thoughts on this as well. We're not...
Oh, you know, I fall a little bit more... Like, if there's something that catches my eye, I'm just like, oh, this could be cool. But I wind up watching something like, there's one on there called Cam.
Cam?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Cam
which
was
is
terrific.
Yeah, Cam. That's a wild movie. I didn't love it personally, but I was like, well, this is still really cool that this exists, mm-hmm. which is just, it follows a young woman as she makes a living as a quote-unquote cam girl. Who just live streams her life and does all these sorts of things, and it turns into kind of a psychological horror, and it's really fascinating. It might not be for everybody, but if you want to see something that you've never seen before, Cam is really good. But then I also fall on, like, I've watched Too Fast, Too Furious at least four times in the last week because Tyrese Gibson is a champion.
I love that.
No shame.
Well, it's funny that Tom had actually handed me a story about a woman who was reunited with a message in a bottle, and it occurred to me, like, sometimes I'll try to go through all the movies that are out there that I know I've never seen, mm-hmm. and I try, and I'm like, I still don't want it. Like, Notebook and Message in a Bottle are two movies I have never seen.
Yeah,
like, just, there's some things that become almost too much of a part of the pop culture,
right?
Yeah,
you know, that I just can't get
it. Yeah, I think you know, if everybody likes it, there must be something wrong with
it. No, I don't mean that, but I also worry about the sort of the bar that is set.
Yeah.
You know, and
I mean, I still haven't seen Bird Box. Like, I have to confess, I haven't seen it,
and that's only for the pop culture reference, like just to see what everyone was talking about at this point.
Yeah,
don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of get to a place where if everybody's talking about something and it becomes really mainstream, I like turn and go the opposite way. I just like can't help myself. I like become like less interested.
And it depends. For me, it depends. I can't watch Game of Thrones.
Well, see, that I eventually came into, like, okay. after, you know, the popularity of it, I don't want to say died down, but it's sort of just was quieter.
Right.
So I, like, watched it on my own time. You know, like, I'm one of those kind of people. I, like, secretly join the bandwagon, okay. but it's, like, months after.
Sure.
You know, and I love Game of Thrones.
All right. I might give it another chance. There's a lot of mud.
Yeah.
Okay, so this goes to something we've never talked about, Tom. We've talked about sensory issues. For some reason, there are certain things in films that, like, I can't. There's a lot of mud. I can smell the slop and the, like, I was watching The Favorite, and the moment she falls out of the carriage, I was like, ah, right into the mud. I was like, ah. I'm just imagining it, like, on the hem of her dress and all over her body. And I'm like, ah. Oh.
Somebody get that girl some Tide. Get a Tide pen.
We have a listener from the 630 says Gareth Edwards is great director. He directed Netflix movie Apostle. That's Chris in Elk Grove.
That's he also did the Raid movies. Is that Gareth Edwards?
I don't know.
I want to say yeah.
Because you are correct.
Because he did Apostle, yes. And that's like Wicker Man kind of, but with Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey. And Gareth Edwards is awesome because he just helped revive a lot of the action genre. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like in there with the John Wick people where he's just like, yeah, what if we made action movies actually good again? And I think The Raid Redemption is on Netflix right now, and also kind of an offshoot of that, different director, The Night Comes for Us, which are both Indonesian martial arts films, and they're absolutely insane. Very violent. Don't watch them with the kids when they're in for the you know, Vortex Day. But if you get like some spare time to yourself and you just want to see people just pop off and go crazy on martial arts, those are two great movies for
him. All right. I will take a look at those, too. Yeah, I finally got my family to help me finish watching. I had seen the entire series, but Haunting of Hill House, which I enjoyed that.
That's another one that everybody was talking about. Just a little too much for my taste. So
a few years from now,
yes.
We'll discover.
I'll secretly join the bandwagon.
I adore Timothy Hutton.
Oh yeah,
and we're watching Leverage, which is a series he was in a few years ago, mm-hmm. and it's just kind of fun. I mean, he is exquisite. He just brings so much to it. You know what's funny? I do watch credits a lot, and I love seeing like guest directors on certain series. Mm. Like if it's Kira Sedgwick has been directing a few of the Grace and Frankie episodes with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda is kind of interesting. But I'm trying to think of more in movies. One of our listeners, by the way, Lane Marie says, "Do not waste your time on Turd Box."
That's just childish.
Noted.
That's childish.
From the 301, we recently watched First Man on Demand. I have not seen that one yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought that was going to get more Academy Award or Golden Globe.
Well, that was interesting because I think it premiered at Venice and the buzz was huge. And then all of a sudden, nobody cared about it when it came out.
I thought it was a weak script. Yeah. I thought Damien Chazelle does a really good job of directing. And I'm one of the people that, like, I fiercely defend my adoration for La La Land. I don't care what anybody says.
Ooh.
I really, it's not better than Moonlight. That's not what I'm saying. But I have a very special connection with that movie. But I went into First Man, I was like, yeah, there's a lot of great directing going on here. Gosling's great. Claire Foy is great. But the script was just really kind of weak, pretty disjointed at times. And so I was like, this isn't going to go anywhere. Even though it's a technically amazing movie, it's not going to go anywhere awards-wise.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if I was talking to you about this because I saw Bohemian Rhapsody. And I'm learning more now about not just the inconsistencies, but what bothered me when I was watching it was I felt like they read the Wikipedia page mm-hmm. for Queen. And they were like, this happened, then this happened, and then they made this song. And it was, and then to find out that they actually didn't have this big moment of where he was begging for their forgiveness, you know, to come back to that. I was like, I thought it was fine watching it. Hearing Nick D rail against it, I was like, all right, let's see what Nick D's talking about. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I'm not a fan. Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen Bohemian Rhapsody just yet. My little brother saw it, and it was interesting talking to him about it when I went and visited Alabama over the holidays. But kind of like the sense that I've been getting is it's just like another I hate to say this because I haven't seen it, but it does seem like an example of Hollywood playing it safe.
Yeah.
You know, like not very. Really like diving in and like telling the story. Like, is this something that Queen himself would be like, right. Yeah, that was my life.
Well, it's a formula, you know. Yeah. The problem with these musician biopics is that it's the same formula every time, regardless of who the musician is. And Tom, you had a whole episode about that.
Yeah.
Where you were talking about Ray and Walk the Line.
Yeah, Walk the Line and Ray just pretty much set the standard for that type of biopic. And then Walk Hard, starring John C. Reilly, comes along and just does the most amazing job of breaking it down into just into its most essential parts and making fun of it. That I literally don't know how you make a movie like that again after Walk Hard came out.
That's right. I've never seen that one either.
Oh, you will cry laughing. It's so good.
Well, the problem I have with this formulaic approach is that, you know, Ray Charles was a genius. Johnny Cash was also a genius, but they are totally different. Their music is so different.
Sure.
So you need to come up with a form that is unique to who they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I haven't seen Bohemian Rhapsody. I mean, you could not pay me to watch that movie, but I did watch an 82-second clip on Twitter that went viral. I'm sure you know. You guys know what I'm talking about. 82 seconds. It's a conversation between five people sitting around a table. I think it's the manager or the guy who's going to become their manager.
Right, it is.
There are 52 shots in 82 seconds, and it's just a simple dialogue scene.
Oh, God.
It's ridiculous. It looks like the person who edited it is on drugs.
Oh, boy. Well, I will say this. I think my favorite musician biopic is Coal Miner's Daughter.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Isn't that a great... That is... Now, Tom, have you seen Coal Miner's Daughter?
I haven't. Is it anything like Gary Busey and the Buddy Holly story?
That's not bad.
It kind of is.
It's. I like that one.
I like the Buddy Holly story, too.
I do. I like that one, too. You know what was sad was that because they made Coal Miner's Daughter, the Patsy Cline movie was not as good.
I did not see that.
That was with Jessica Lange.
Oh yeah,
and it's not. It's not the same. I mean, there was it was an uncomfortably done movie. I thought, and not justly done because she was such an incredible artist, and maybe because Loretta Lynn, maybe because she was there, and Sissy Spacek.
Oh yeah,
so great,
incredible.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
She's one of my another actress. That's one of my favorites who continues to work. She's great. Castle Rock, not that easy to watch. It's sort of a long series on Hulu, but also Bloodlines on Netflix. She continues to do great work.
Oh yeah, she's always great.
Yeah, one of my favorites. Let's continue our conversation. We're going to wrap it up with Tell Me Something Good. I kept you here this long. You may as well tell me something good. By the way, here's one before we go to the break. Hey, Patty and company, it's Sean S. With all the closings tomorrow, including bars on Lincoln Avenue, Rose's Lounge will be open from 5 till 2 a.m. So that's 5 p.m. till 2 a.m. with half-price drinks. I think this is important to know. You can go to Rose's Lounge tomorrow with half-price drinks if you say that you love the Patty Vasquez Show. I love it. So half-price drinks on me. Not on me, but I guess because of me. 312-981-7200. Tell me something good. We'll be right back on 720 WGM. 312-981-7200. No matter what happens all day long, no matter what how cold it gets or how many arguments you get into or what your bank statement looks like, there's always something to be grateful for. And sometimes I do this. I'm grateful for the lovely guests that we've had tonight, the conversations we've had, including our experts who were there tonight to tell you how to get through this cold weather. We had Dr. Kathy Tynes, Steve Dale, and Warren Price telling you how to take care of your body, of your pets, and of your car. And I also want to thank our guests in studio, Lane Marie Williams and Michael Glover Smith, to talk about their passion for movies and their film Rendezvous in Chicago. You can go to siskelfilmcenter.org for ticket information. It premieres on February 8th, and then there will be three more screenings after that throughout the week. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you for having us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you. And we also have Rick Geezer in studio with us. He's coming up on Nick D's show. Before I get everybody else's something good, Chris has been calling a little bit, and he wanted to join the conversation. Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
Hey, how you doing? Remember from last night.
Yeah, calling from South Carolina. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Y'all talking about movies, right?
Yes, we were.
Yeah.
It's this old movie that I remember back in, like, the 50s. You ever heard of The Fly, right?
Yep. Which one? My guest wanted to know if you meant The Fly. Which star was in The Fly version that you like?
I like the original, the 58 version with Vincent Price in it.
That's great.
You saw the ending of that thing.
I've never seen the original Fly. I've seen the one with Jeff Goldblum.
That original one, it will creep you out. Just look at that ending, and you'll be hearing that buzzing thing all day long if you hear it. Well, that scared me when I was a kid.
Oh, boy. Well, thank you so much for that, Chris. It's good to hear from you again, and that's part of our something good. Be well. You're warmer than we are. I know it's only about 40 degrees down in South Carolina, but be well, Chris. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hi, Neil.
Bye, Chris. Yeah, he just found our show last night down in South Carolina. Very cool. Great to hear from him. He's listening to us on a regular crank radio, Rick.
A crank radio?
Yeah.
So he's ready for the apocalypse.
Not a crank radio. What's the brand? The brand that makes crank radios. He said it was a regular AM FM, so it's not a crank. Who makes the ones that we always talk about that does the crank? Whatever the company was.
Black and Decker, I think.
Something like that. Also grateful for all of our texters joining the conversation tonight and wishing us well, because they're texting from other places, like from Maryland. Thank you, 301. 779 says, keep warm. And so tell me something good, Michael. What's your something good? What are you grateful for tonight?
What am I grateful for? You know what? I neglected to mention how great my cast is in this film. And so I'm very grateful for the actors who are in my film. And if you come to see it at the Siskel, you can mingle with the cast. These are some of the finest actors in Chicago. People who've done Steppenwolf, Goodman. They've been on all the Dick Wolf shows, and they're going to be there.
Oh, lovely. So wonderful.
You can interact with them face-to-face if you come to the Siskel.
And Lane Marie?
Well, you know, I've had a lot of meetings the last 2 weeks where I feel like the conversations were very empowering.
That'll keep you through the cold weather.
Yeah, I'm like coming in exhausted, and then we just like pump each other up, and I leave like, yeah, got this. So that's good.
And Tom, tell me something good.
I'll tell you something good. I am very grateful and honored to be presenting the Q&A on the opening night of Rendezvous in Chicago, and also for these two, some of the earliest guests on my podcast on WGN Plus, No Coast Cinema. So they've been so supportive and always wanting to hang out and stuff, so I always appreciate them.
Yay, love it. And Rick Geezer, you're coming up on Nick D next. What's your
grateful that Nick D has me on regularly to play sports songs by athletes, and I'm just grateful to be here with you guys, with an inspiring group of artists,
right?
And a great atmosphere here in Chicago.
Well, overlooking this overly frozen, did you see the river?
I did. It's
crazy.
You
before
know what?
You guys
it's cold
go, yes,
but it's warm in the studio.
That's right. What's the theme tonight for your
Super
sports
Bowl?
Song?
Super Bowl.
One comes to mind in particular.